Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County numbers are not updated daily. ECISD daily cases, 14 students, 8 staff. U.S. cases, 22,522,749 total confirmed, and 375,124 deaths. Find out more at dshs.state.tx.us. Quick hits. COVID-19 vaccines. Walgreens is currently delivering vaccinations to long-term care facilities and will have vaccines for the public sometime in 2021. HEB has requested more COVID-19 vaccine from the state of Texas. Once they have the vaccine, eligible customers can sign up using the scheduler to receive a COVID-19 vaccine at no cost. To sign up, updates, or information, visit vaccine.heb.com. The CVS stores will soon have the no-cost COVID-19 vaccine available. They will administer in a phased approach based on state guidelines when available to pharmacies. Medical Center Hospital. The Incident Command is working with MCH for vaccine plans for the community. Adoption Event. Odessa Animal Control, 910 West 42nd Street, has scheduled an adoption event for January to help find every shelter pet a forever home. All fees are waived and pets are fully vetted. For more information, call 368-3527. Should I get a COVID-19 vaccine if I've had the virus? Yes. Regardless of previous infection, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says people should plan on getting vaccinated when it's their turn. It's a pretty straightforward question, said Johns Hopkins infectious disease specialist Dr. Amesh Adalja. Yes, you need to get vaccinated. After someone recovers, their immune system should keep them from getting sick again right away. Scientists still don't know exactly how long this immunity lasts or how strong it is, though recent research suggests the protection could last for several months. Vaccines, by contrast, are designed to bring about a more consistent and optimal immune response, and they should boost whatever pre-existing immunity a person might have from an infection, experts say. Man charged in assault with dog collar and pipe. A series of Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavits detailed that a 24-year-old man assaulted his ex-girlfriend with a dog collar, caused nearly $3,000 in damage to her car, and assaulted his ex-girlfriend's brother with a metal pipe. Jose Rodriguez was charged with 2 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony, criminal mischief, a state jail felony, and assault causing bodily injury, a Class A misdemeanor. The first reported assault happened December 14th, after the victim, identified as Brittany Perkins, stated her ex-boyfriend had assaulted her and caused damage to her vehicle. Perkins stated on the day of the incident she was leaving the apartment complex in her car when Rodriguez approached her and asked her where she was going, to which she answered that it was none of his business, as they had already ended their relationship. Perkins reportedly told police that Rodriguez got mad at her, and he picked up a rock and threw it at the driver's side door, which caused damage to the metal. Perkins detailed that Rodriguez jumped up onto the hood, and he stomped on the front windshield with his foot, causing the windshield to shatter. Perkins stated that Rodriguez got into the passenger side of her vehicle, where he pulled a knife and held it to her throat, and he demanded that she take him to another side of town. Perkins stated that out of fear of being hurt, that she complied with his request. Perkins reportedly detailed to police that returning to the apartment complex, the assault continued. Rodriguez used a dog leash to choke her, and he struck her on the face with his hand, causing her nose to bleed. Rodriguez also pulled out some of Perkins' hair. Perkins stated during the course of being choked, She bit Rodriguez's finger, causing him to release his hold on her, and allowed her to exit the car. Perkins stated that Rodriguez also exited her door, and he took her 15-month-old child out of the car, and he took the child with him. Perkins reportedly told police that she drove away to get help from her father. Rodriguez swung a dog leash toward her car, which struck and broke the rear windshield with a metal clasp. Perkins stated that as she was asking her dad for help, that Rodriguez walked up and returned the child to her. Robbie Perkins, the father of Brittany Perkins, stated to the responding officer that when Rodriguez returned the child to her daughter, that Rodriguez still had the knife in his possession. Perkins reportedly received damage estimates to her car that totaled $2,796.71. The second assault happened around 3 a.m. January 10th at the La Promesa apartment located at 4590 North Texas Avenue. Officers reportedly saw Perkins had visible injuries on her face. The injuries included a swollen and cut lip that was bleeding, swelling to both of her eyes, and scratches all over her face and neck. Perkins reportedly told police that it was her fault that Rodriguez had hit her. Perkins stated that they had been in an argument that led to Rodriguez becoming upset and hitting her. Perkins stated that Rodriguez had left the apartment complex in his vehicle and was no longer at the scene, but he returned at 3:39 a.m. Justin Perkins, the brother of Brittany Perkins, stated he was also assaulted by Rodriguez as he was at his sister's residence due to her being assaulted. Justin Perkins stated he saw Rodriguez in the parking lot and Rodriguez had a metal pipe in his hand. Justin Perkins stated that Rodriguez was yelling, "Do you want to get messed up?" Justin Perkins reportedly told police that Rodriguez swung at him with a pipe and that he tackled him to the ground. Officers collected the pipe, which was a long black aluminum pipe that appeared to be from a broom handle that was a few feet away from where Rodriguez was detained. Rodriguez was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. He has four bonds totaling $56,000 and was still in custody as of Tuesday morning. Health Sciences names new provost. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center has announced the appointment of Dr. Darren D'Agostino as provost and chief academic officer. D'Agostino will begin his TTUHSC duties April 2nd. D'Agostino currently is the executive dean of the College of Osteopathic Medicine and vice provost of health affairs for Kansas City University. Prior to joining KCU, D'Agostino served as Associate Dean of Community Health and Innovation and Professor of Medicine at the University of North Texas Health Science Center, UNTHSC. He also was Chairman of the Department of Medicine for 8 years. While at UNTHC, he focused on creating the newly implemented Population Health Curriculum for the medical school. This curriculum became the unifying thread between the multiple health professions schools on campus and directly tied to the Institute for Patient Safety. D'Agostino also will chair the university's Academics Council. In this role, he will have a collaborative presence on all TTUHC campuses to promote TTUHC values, lead and mentor team members, anticipate and guide appropriate strategic responses to issues and challenges, grow and transform academic priorities, and embrace innovative, effective technologies. D'Agostino began his career at Hartford Hospital in Connecticut as an associate director in the Department of Medicine at one of the largest teaching hospitals in Connecticut. During his tenure at Hartford Hospital, he became the program director for the Osteopathic Internal Medicine Residency for the University of Connecticut School of Medicine. After working as a program director for 4 years, he became the director of education and helped develop the osteopathic graduate medical education expansion in the state of Connecticut for the American Osteopathic Association. D'Agostino earned his Bachelor of Science in Psychology from Union College, Master of Public Health from the University of Connecticut, Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine from New York College of Osteopathic Medicine, and a Master of Business Administration from the University of Texas at Dallas. Staying Upbeat, Set for Thursday by Ruth Campbell. In the time of COVID-19, many arts performances have been canceled, postponed, or altered to help people stay safe from the virus. A panel discussion titled Staying Upbeat is set for Thursday. The interactive panel will focus on arts opportunities during the pandemic. Presented by Allegro Chorale and Cassatt in the Basin, Staying Upbeat is set for 6 p.m. Thursday on the Allegro Chorale Facebook page. It is hosted by the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Expected participants are Allegro Chorale President Michael Jordan, Cassatt Quartet violinist Jennifer Leschnauer, Ken Siloff is the head choir director at Permian High School, and artistic director and conductor of the Allegro Chorale, Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm, Odessa High School Associate Choir Director Rob Rogers, and recently added Benjamin Zander, conductor of the Boston Philharmonic, noted TED Talker, speaker, and master teacher. I'm looking forward to having a really good discussion. We're going to have some questions that we'll deal with and respond to, Jordan said. I hope it's going to be informative. Leschnauer said it's been difficult to perform and provide lessons to students during the pandemic, but they have found ways to make their projects work. The quartet offered its first online Cassatt in the Basin summer program. They also plan to start an art therapy program to local organizations working with people who have experienced trauma from the pandemic and or the August 31, 2019 mass shootings. Since the technology is available, the quartet is using it to stay active, purposeful, and relevant, Leschnauer said. They participated in the world premiere of an opera called Aida of the Ocean and Land. Hamm said he thinks it's important to look at the cultural effects this pandemic is going to have on the cultural landscape in the days, weeks, months, and years to come. I don't think we're going to go back to the way things were. I think we'll have some sort of hybrid. Obviously, public gathering is going to be important, but some of the things that have been done during the pandemic will probably carry over and stick around. It will be interesting to get other people's perspective on that and what worked and what didn't and how we can move forward, Hamm said. One of the great things to come out of the pandemic, Hamm said, was that people leaned on the arts for comfort when we couldn't do anything else. I was very proud of our cultural institutions that took an active role in giving people an outlet, and I hope that continues through this next year as well, Hamm said. With the COVID vaccination rolling out, Hamm said he hopes in-person events can resume soon. I miss them so much. I miss people. I miss seeing live theater and seeing live music. And so we're all working towards that, but it's going to take the community to help us with that, and that means practicing social distancing and wearing a mask and getting your vaccine so that we can get back to the business of entertaining and providing for our community, Hamm said. Ethan Wills is executive director of the Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale. He was going to participate, but he and his wife were expecting a baby. Willis said it's important for all the arts organizations to work together and find a path forward and find ways to adapt to COVID. I think if everybody works together and talks and remains open, it just heightens all the other arts groups, so I think it's good, Willis said. He added that it's been nice to see that there is still a demand for the arts. I just feel like without the arts through this pandemic, it's just been really difficult. And I think every little bit you can get helps. It's not the same, but having a football season, having hockey, having some bit of baseball, everybody's trying to do something. And when that happens, I think, generally speaking, spirits get uplifted, and I hate to see the arts impacted in that way. If these other sports teams can kind of push ahead and try and do it safely, we've got to find a way to do it too, Willis said. According to data from Odessa Arts from its Americans for the Arts survey in 2019, the city of Odessa invested $700,000 in hotel occupancy tax to cultural nonprofits. Hamm said that generated over $6 million in economic activity for the city of Odessa in 1 year. That is an 800% return on investment. The arts nonprofit supported over 200 full-time equivalent jobs, contributed over $275,000 in local government revenue, and $300,000 in state government revenue, Ham said. The average Odessa resident, when going to a cultural event, spends $27.30. That includes the price of admission, parking, any meals or special retail, like if you went out and bought a new dress for the concert, $27 per person for every event, he said. The average cultural tourist, which is somebody that comes from outside of Odessa and attends a cultural event, spent $79, three times as much. When you start looking at cultural tourism, that's not just hotel, but it does include hotel. And these are people, I'm not just talking about people that maybe come from Rankin and come into Odessa to go to the Ellen Knoll. It's also people that come here for business but then go ahead and attend an event at the Permian Playhouse or go see a symphony concert while they're here, Ham said. Volunteers needed for AARP Foundation Tax Aid. AARP Foundation Tax Aid is looking to expand its team of volunteers for the upcoming tax season. Tax Aid, celebrating its 52nd year, offers free in-person preparation and assistance to anyone, especially those 50 and older, who can't afford a tax preparation service. Volunteers make a difference in their communities by assisting many older, lower-income taxpayers and their families who might otherwise miss out on the tax credits and deductions they've earned. Every level of experience is welcome. Volunteer tax preparers complete tax preparation training and IRS certification. The program is offered at senior centers in Odessa and Midland. AARP Foundation Tax Aid is offered in coordination with the IRS. Local information and details can be obtained by contacting Bob Schuler, District Coordinator, at 432-362-7204. Museum of the Southwest appoints new executive director. OILF at oioalife.com, Midland. The Museum of the Southwest Board of Trustees has announced that Lori Wesley has accepted the position as executive director of the Museum of the Southwest. Wesley, a former Museum of the Southwest board president, comes to the museum with years of Midland community nonprofit and fundraising involvement, as well as business acumen gained in her role as an executive at Frost Bank. Wesley's exuberance and love for the institution should usher in a solid period of growth for our museum. She started on Monday, and we all look forward to watching Midland and the museum expand its horizons through her tenure. Obituaries and death notices from the Odessa American for Wednesday. Travis Lee Dyer, 87, passed away on Friday, January 8th at his home in Crowley, Texas, surrounded by his family. Funeral services will be held at 12 noon on Saturday, January 16th at Sneed Funeral Chapel, with a visitation 2 hours prior from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Interment will follow at Lomita City Cemetery. Travis was born on July 30, 1933, in Coryell, Gatesville County, Texas, to Travis Dick Dyer and Osha Lee Jackson Dyer. Travis was preceded in death by his parents and his granddaughter, Karen Janine. Survivors include his spouse, Penny Kay of Crowley, Texas, his four children by his former wife, Dolores Yvonne Ensley, deceased, Robert James Dyer and his wife, Pinky of Fort Worth, Johnny Lee Dyer and his wife Donna of Garland, Donna Janine McFadder and her husband Donnie of Mansfield, Texas, Tommy Glenn Dyer and his wife Mindy of Fort Worth, sister Charlotte Foster and her husband Jimmy of Mayhill, New Mexico, 11 grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren, one niece, two nephews, and several cousins. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorial donations be made to Burleson Church of Christ at 1150 Northwest John Jones Drive, Burleson, Texas, 76028, or Salvation Army. J.B. Bull Price gave up the good fight on January 10th at his home in Gardendale with his loved ones by his side. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Thursday, January 14th at Sunset Funeral Chapel with the Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Bull was born in Seymour, Texas to Molly Leela and Hunter William Price on July 16, 1932. Bull is preceded in death by his parents, his wives, Oconee Jones and Peggy Laureen Smith, his daughter Peggy Jean Kelly, and his 11 siblings. He is survived by his daughter Kimberly Ann Swan and husband Jerry of Odessa, and son Jabo Broslin Price and wife Denise, also of Odessa. He is survived by his one remaining sibling, Dan Price of Clovis, New Mexico, as well as 4 grandchildren, 11 great-grandchildren, and 1 great-great-grandchild. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Lori Robertson Roll, age 63, of Gardendale, passed from this life on Thursday, January 7th. She was born on Tuesday, May 7th, 1957, in Gratna, Louisiana, to the late Carl Gale Harding and Betty Ann Westerman. Those left to cherish her love and memories are her beloved husband, Jerome Royal, son Casey Langenfeld, stepchildren Valerie Stevens and Charmaine Shaw, sisters Gowanna Langenfeld and Rhonda Clark, as well as numerous nieces, nephews, and grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her parents and siblings, Paula Truax and James Skeeter Robertson. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, January 21st, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Amazing Grace will be sung by Michelle and K.J. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Edna Irene Miles Slaughter, age 95, passed away Monday, January 11th in San Antonio. She was born on February 12, 1925 in Dallas, to James Andrew and Ellen Guerin Miles. Edna is survived by her daughters Susan K. Slaughter of Austin and Joy Lee Tucker and husband David of DelVal, Texas, brother Earl Ray Miles and wife Elizabeth of Dallas, sister Alice Malone of Dallas, 1 grandchild and 2 great-grandchildren. Edna was preceded in death by her husband, Joe Slaughter, parents James and Ellen Miles, brothers Andrew, Jerry, Truett, and Billy, sisters Betty Fern, Minnie Lee, and Annie Ruth. Funeral services will be held on Wednesday, January 13th at 2 p.m. at Grace Temple Baptist Church in Kermit, officiated by Brother Doug Bates. Interment will follow at Kermit Cemetery. Manuel Mendoza, 70, of Odessa, died Monday, December 28th in Odessa. Prayer service is scheduled 6 p.m. today at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Pastor Rudy Vasquez is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Refugio Cuca Anaya, 89, of Odessa, died Friday, December 25th, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. Thursday, January 14th, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens Adoration Section. Pastor Mary Emiliano is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Cheryl Thompson Brown, 65, of Odessa, died Friday, January 8th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. January 13th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Jennifer Mahan Woodall is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Abel D. Castro, 70, died Monday, December 28th in Lubbock. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Elida Fuentes, 70, of Odessa, died Sunday, January 3rd in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Friday, January 15th, at Odessa Funeral Home. Burial will follow at the Odessa 2 section of Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. Maria Socorro Arzate Nieto, 63, of Odessa, died Wednesday, January 6th in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Saturday, January 16th at Iglesia de Poder y Restauración. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Jimmy Quiros, 70, of Odessa, died Sunday, December 13th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Friday, January 15th at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Family has opted for cremation. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Margie Cheney Swift, 82, of Odessa, died Friday, January 8th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. January 13th at American Heritage Funeral Home Chapel. Private burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. David Newton is officiating. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Health and wellness. Midland Health is leading the way with Lifestyle Medicine Center. Padmaja Patel, Lifestyle Medicine Center. Did you know that 70% of all Americans take prescription medications and they are spending more on pharmaceuticals than the rest of the world combined? These numbers are mind-boggling. We need to realize that we did not get here overnight. The current status of our healthcare is the result of years of shrewd marketing techniques, relentless efforts of lobbyists for big pharmaceutical companies, and food industries and government policies that have helped businesses more than promoting health. To add to the problem, our current fee-for-service reimbursement model for physicians encourages them to do more and not less, promoting quantity of work instead of the quality of work. According to the CDC, more than 90% of our nation's $3.5 trillion in annual healthcare expenditures are for people with chronic and mental health conditions. Over the years, countless studies have shown that comprehensive lifestyle interventions can significantly improve outcomes in chronic diseases like heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, hyperlipidemia, and many other lifestyle-related diseases. But we do not see lifestyle interventions being used as a treatment. There are three main reasons why these lifestyle intervention approaches have not gained momentum. First, healthcare providers do not believe that patients can change their behaviors. Also, they are taught to treat with medications instead of prescribing lifestyle interventions. Second, these interventions are more challenging and time-consuming than simply prescribing a pill. Patients need education, counseling, and ongoing support to experience meaningful change. Third, the pharmaceutical approach is easier. Insurance companies pay for medications and not lifestyle changes. I'm excited to share that this is about to change for our community. Midland Health, in its mission to make Midland the healthiest community in Texas, has decided to be the leader in embracing this paradigm shift that is happening across the country by opening a one-of-a-kind lifestyle medicine center. This is one of the only programs in the U.S. that offers several medically supervised comprehensive lifestyle interventions at one location. Lifestyle Medicine Center offers 1. Lifestyle Medicine Clinic, 2. Pritikin Intensive Cardiac Rehab Program, 3. Diabetes Reversal Program, 4. Nutrition Therapy, 5. Weight Loss Program, 6. Health Coach Services, 7. Free lifestyle medicine educational classes. I'm especially excited to share that the Lifestyle Medicine Clinic is a unique clinic where lifestyle interventions are used as the first line of treatment while using medications only on an as-needed basis. This offers an option for those who are interested in improving their health and are willing to reduce the number and/or dose of their medications or come off them altogether while learning about the importance of nutrition, physical activity, stress management, and emotional well-being on prevention, management, and reversal of some chronic disease processes. Under the current Public Health Emergency Declaration, the clinic offers lifestyle medicine consultations via telemedicine to anyone living within the state of Texas. Author James Clear points out an eye-opening problem. Winners and losers all have the same goals. We all want to score the most points, win the most games, get the promotion, and be in the best health. Just because we want something doesn't mean we get it. The difference between the winners and the losers are the strategies they deploy to get to their goals. At the Lifestyle Medicine Center, we help you focus on those strategies and give you the tools you need to implement and improve them. Changes come when you are able to develop a trajectory towards something that you are capable of, get the promotion, and be in the best health. If you are interested in learning more, please call 221-LIFE. Padmaja Patel, MD, is the Lifestyle Director of the Lifestyle Medicine Center. Lifestyle Medicine's unique value proposition allows the body to protect and heal itself by promoting healthy lifestyle choices, educates, guides, and supports positive behavior changes, places a focus on evidence-based optimal nutrition, stress management, sleep, and physical activity, encourages active patient participation, treats the underlying lifestyle-related causes of disease, uses medications as a supplement to therapeutic lifestyle changes, considers the patient's home and community environment. Source, Midland Health. Midland Health has decided to be the leader in embracing this paradigm shift that is happening across the country by opening a one-of-a-kind lifestyle medicine center. Officials, COVID numbers at MMH trending opposite of region, by Stuart Doreen. S. Doreen at HurstMP.com. Midland health officials said Tuesday the rising COVID patient numbers across the region took them by surprise. Because while the Department of State Health Services shows the percentage of COVID patients above 15% across the region that includes Midland, Midland health officials were seeing the opposite impact at Midland Memorial Hospital. As of this morning, only 59 patients are COVID positive, said Russell Myers, CEO of Midland Health. I can't remember the last time we dipped below 60 active COVID patients. Myers said the numbers regarding COVID-19's impact in Midland are down from a high of 108 patients a few weeks ago. Midland Health also showed other numbers that show a downward trend on its website Tuesday. The percentage of COVID patients at Midland Memorial fell from 30% on Monday to 26% on Tuesday morning. Also, the week has started off with 55 people testing positive at Midland Health testing centers. Last week, there were more than 400. It's a good reminder to us that our mitigation efforts do work, Myers said. We have to continue them. We have to encourage our friends to continue them. On Monday, the Department of State Health Services reported that the percentage of COVID patients compared to all hospital capacity jumped from 12.41% on Friday to 16.22% on Saturday and 15.96% on Sunday. According to Governor Greg Abbott's executive order, GA-32, if any trauma service area or region has 7 consecutive days in which the number of COVID-19 hospitalized patients exceeds 15% of total hospital capacity, restrictions are put into place that include 50% business occupancy. Dr. Larry Wilson, Midland Health's chief medical officer, said he was surprised about the higher numbers in the region, which also includes the cities of Odessa, Andrews, Pecos, and 9 other counties. Unfortunately, it's just a reminder that COVID-19 is still out there, Wilson said. On Tuesday, the Department of State Health Services showed that the percentage COVID patients in hospitals across the region dropped to 13.03. That ended a restrictions watch in region cities like Midland and Odessa. Other statistics from the weekly briefing include: there are 22 people in the COVID critical care unit, age range of 44 to 81. There are 37 in the COVID medical unit, age range of 23 to 88. There are 77 staff members who are quarantined, 45 are positive for COVID. Another 44 staff members are self-monitoring but continuing to work. Meyer said Midland Memorial Hospital is still providing monoclonal antibody infusions for those who test positive for COVID. Meyer said there have been 262 patients who have received an infusion, and of those, 3 have required hospitalizations. That's a high-risk population, Meyer said, and we would have expected it to be about 20% hospitalized within a few days of a positive test. So we're encouraged that the antibody infusions work. He said those interested can check the hospital's website or ask their doctor to order it. Vaccinations continue. Governor Greg Abbott, Wright, holds the hand of 86-year-old Al Godfrey of Arlington as he receives his COVID-19 shot at a mass vaccination site Monday inside Esports Stadium Arlington and Expo Center in Arlington. Earlier, Abbott met with local and state officials for a briefing and then provided an update on COVID-19 vaccine efforts in Texas. Health briefs from staff and wire reports. New York. Another record decline reported in U.S. cancer death rate. Researchers on Tuesday reported another record one-year decline in the U.S. cancer death rate, a drop they attribute to success against lung cancer. The overall cancer death rate has been falling since 1991. From 2017 to 2018, it fell 2.4%, according to an American Cancer Society report, topping the record 2.2% drop reported the year before. Lung cancer accounted for almost half of the overall decline in cancer deaths in the past 5 years, the Society reported. Most lung cancer cases are tied to smoking, and decades of declining smoking rates have led to falling rates of lung cancer illnesses and deaths. But experts say the drop in deaths has been accelerated by refinements in surgery, better diagnostic scanning, more precise use of radiation, and the impact of newer drugs. Both men and women who are diagnosed with lung cancer are surviving longer, and that's really fantastic news, said Dr. Deborah Schrag, Chief of Population Sciences at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, in a statement. Cancer remains the country's second leading cause of death after heart disease. An estimated 1.9 million new U.S. cancer cases will be diagnosed this year. Nearly 609,000 Americans will die from cancer, the Society estimates. TTUHSC names new provost and chief academic officer. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center has announced the appointment of Darren D'Agostino as provost and chief academic officer. D'Agostino currently is the executive dean of the College of Osteopathic Medicine and vice provost of health affairs for Kansas City University. Prior to joining KCU, D'Agostino served as associate dean of community health and innovation and professor of medicine at the University of North Texas Health Science Center. He was also chairman of the Department of Medicine for 8 years. While at UNTHSC, he focused on creating the newly implemented population health curriculum for the medical school. This curriculum became the unifying thread between the multiple health professions, schools on campus, and directly tied to the Institute for Patient Safety. D'Agostino will chair the university's Academics Council. In this role, he will have a collaborative presence on all TTUHSC campuses to promote TTUHSC values, lead and mentor team members, anticipate and guide appropriate strategic responses to issues and challenges, grow and transform academic priorities, and embrace innovative, effective technologies. D'Agostino will begin his TTUHSC duties April 2. How sick are you? Midland Memorial Hospital offers a nurse triage program, 68 Nurse. The program is designed to help people determine whether their health situation warrants a trip to the emergency room. Midland residents can call the line by dialing 686-8773. The program is free and available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Local nurses are available to help you determine the best place to receive care for your situation. 68 Nurse can help you save time and money by directing you to the most appropriate healthcare option, whether it's a neighborhood clinic, urgent care center, emergency room, or just staying home.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, January 13th, 2021. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled Saudi Arabia's Double-Edged Gift for U.S. Shale by Liam Denning, Bloomberg. Saudi Arabia certainly put the rollover in, well, rollover on last week. Having spent most of 2020 playing disciplinarian in the OPEC Plus group, the oil giant took the hit itself at the end of the latest meeting. Ostensibly, supply cuts are being rolled over into February and March. In reality, Saudi Arabia will voluntarily cut its own supply, allowing most other members to reap the benefit of higher crude prices, and a select few to enjoy the bonus of loosened output caps too. And by select few, I mean mainly Russia. But there is one other group that benefits, one that haunts rather than sits at the OPEC Plus table, U.S. oil companies. Oil's vaccine-inspired rally in late 2020 risked causing OPEC Plus to start adding back supply this month, thereby capping the rally. Russia, which handles lower oil prices better than most other members, was pushing for this. Saudi Arabia, with an eye on resurgent COVID-19 cases and perhaps the risk of extra barrels produced in January hitting the seasonally weak spring market, led the resistance. The result is a compromise. Russia and Kazakhstan get some of the extra production allowance they wanted. The rest maintain their current levels, and Saudi Arabia takes one for the team. 1 million barrels a day, that is. It's a remarkable about-face from last year, when OPEC Plus adopted a convoluted formula of make-backsies on any excess production by members. And Saudi Arabia called out offenders by name, apart from the biggest, Russia. Besides the symbolism of this climb down and the notional $3 billion of revenue Saudi Arabia foregoes with the extra cut, assuming $50 a barrel, there is an added sting. One of the silver linings of the COVID crash for Saudi Arabia and other OPEC Plus members was that it dealt a haymaker to an already tottering U.S. oil sector. Investors had largely abandoned the group because of chronic mismanagement of capital, and it became the smallest sector in the S&P 500 for the first time. As the industry has begun to consolidate, cut budgets, and at least talk the talk on prioritizing shareholders, it has sat up on the canvas. The oil price rally, now provided a further boost by Riyadh, has tempted back a few more speculative souls and allowed energy to nudge past real estate to be only the second smallest sector. That's not exactly a full recovery, obviously, but the oil sector's threshold for what constitutes success is at ground level these days. Highly leveraged companies, such as Occidental Petroleum Corporation, topped the U.S. Energy Leaderboard last week, symbolizing the lifeline thrown from Riyadh. Importantly, longer-dated oil futures are now close to breaching the $50 level, last seen almost a year ago. Above $50, U.S. producers should feel comfortable hedging more of their future production. This doesn't portend a sudden rebound in shale output. Energy may no longer be the smallest sector in the S&P 500, but at less than 2.5%, it still has far to go in restoring trust with investors, and that means restraint on spending. Still, hedging more production at higher prices helps a lot, and this will stabilize U.S. oil output and put it on a sustainable upward path. This has been the dilemma faced by OPEC and OPEC Plus for years, trading off market share for price. It may be less acute at this point, given shale's scars, but it remains. As OPEC Plus members aim to bring back their own 7 million barrels a day of spare capacity after March, any extra U.S. barrels present competition. And yet, looked at in the wider context, Saudi Arabia's apparent capitulation isn't a complete victory for shale. In one way, the size of the voluntary cut is itself unnerving, suggesting Riyadh fears the recovery in oil demand is more fragile than many think. There is also the whiplash aspect to consider. Less than a year ago, OPEC Plus effectively blew apart when Saudi Arabia launched a price war against Russia. COVID-19 forced a quick truce, which proved effective at putting a floor under prices. Yet, strains quickly reappeared, most notably between Saudi Arabia and its traditional close partner, the United Arab Emirates. The adoption of a provision whereby producers make up any shortfall on compliance with their supply limits, as well as the move to monthly meetings, now adjusted again, speak to the mounting difficulty of holding such a disparate group together. The new arrangement, whereby Russia gets a partial free pass, but others are still expected to play the game, and with Saudi Arabia reverting to underwriting the whole thing, takes this tension to a new level. As oil demand comes back and prices rise further, such multi-split discipline looks unsustainable. For producers who looked into the abyss when the last OPEC price war broke out, the possibility of a new one down the road should temper short-term enthusiasm. Saudi Arabia's unexpected gift presents an opportunity for the shale sector to press on with fixing its problems, not abandon the effort altogether. This article is entitled "Oil Tops $53 with Weaker Dollar" by Andres Guerra-Loz, Bloomberg. Oil rose to a fresh 10-month high with a weaker dollar providing support to a market already boosted by expectations for tightening global supply. Futures climbed 1.8% in New York on Tuesday as a declining dollar raised the appeal for commodities priced in the currency. The six-day rally, the longest stretch of gains since May, has also been aided by Saudi Arabia's pledge last week to slice output in the coming months. West Texas Intermediate for February delivery rose 96 cents a barrel to settle at $53.21. It's been a dynamic bull trend, and the market continues to anticipate inventories are going to be drawn pretty sharply as a result of the Saudi production cutbacks, said Andrew LeBeau, senior partner at Commodity Research Group. But at some point, when you get into these bull moves, the market tends to overshoot where the equilibrium price is. Oil has been on a tear after OPEC and its allies agreed to keep curbing their output, building on a rally at the end of last year on COVID-19 vaccine breakthroughs. Yet, the return to normal for both crude and fuel demand remains some ways off, as the world's vaccination effort is still in the early stages. Global crude consumption will likely stagnate until May, and both vaccine production and vaccination rates would need to be ramped up massively if the world is to transition to normality this year, consultant FGE wrote in a report. Meanwhile, gasoline demand next year won't reach pre-pandemic levels, though diesel should eclipse its 2019 performance, the U.S. Energy Information Administration wrote in a monthly report. Yet Brent's rally faces formidable resistance from $58 a barrel to $60 a barrel, Bank of America Global Research said in a report. Technical indicators like the 14-day relative strength index signal both oil benchmarks are overbought. Oil is also rallying along its forward curve after Saudi Arabia's announcement to unilaterally cut production. Brent's nearest contract has grown its premium to the following month to 9 cents a barrel, compared to a discount of 7 cents at the start of last week. The closely watched spread between its closest two December contracts has also strengthened, signaling growing expectations for the supply and demand balance to improve. Getting us to April with these cuts puts us at a point where, one, seasonal demand typically starts to pick up, and two, we'll have had a couple of months of vaccinations under our belt as a global economy. So maybe getting past the worst of the shutdowns, said Peter McNally, global head for industrials, materials, and energy at Third Bridge. That's certainly changing the tenor of the market to one of tightness compared to ample supply. Given the recent surge in oil prices and rig additions, U.S. crude production in the lower 48 states should start to increase from the second quarter of this year, the Energy Information Administration said in a monthly report on Tuesday. Further injecting optimism into the market, U.S. crude inventories are expected to have fallen last week, according to a Bloomberg survey. The industry-funded American Petroleum Institute will report its figures later Tuesday, ahead of a U.S. government report on Wednesday.
Is my metallic-like taste COVID-19 related? To your good health for Wednesday. Dear Dr. Roach, I tested positive for COVID about 6 weeks ago. I had very mild symptoms for about 24 hours. I lost my sense of taste and smell. My senses are slowly returning, but now I constantly have a strange taste in my mouth. I can't tell if it's a metallic taste or not. Eating, drinking, chewing gum, brushing, etc., make it go away for 10 minutes. Is this COVID-related or something else? Will it go away? Dr. Roach writes, while I can't answer with certainty, many people with COVID-19 have disturbances in taste and smell that take weeks or months to resolve. Based on my experience with these patients, I would guess your disturbance is most likely COVID-19 related and is likely to go away in time.
Dear Abby, busy mom fights to prevent frustrations from exploding. Dear Abby, I'm a 24-year-old woman who has been married for 4 years. My husband, Jerry, and I have 2 young boys. Jerry is military. I stay at home with the kids and work part-time online on an associate degree. We struggle financially, but our basic needs are met, and, overall, I'm happy with my life. My problem is I'm finding myself struggling to control a very strong temper. The kids or my husband may be getting on my nerves, or I'm late turning in an assignment, or I'm unable to get housework done. These frustrations build up inside and make me want to throw a fit, scream, or throw things. Essentially, not be the cool, responsible adult I typically am. I know this is incredibly immature, and I realize I'm well off in the grand scheme of things, but this anger still brews. I have never had a problem controlling my temper before. Can you help? Fired Up in Florida. Dear Fired Up, the quarantines and lockdowns may be part of the cause of your near meltdowns. Many people are stressed and spread thin, and the isolation isn't helping. Because you are constantly with your children, it's important that you manage your emotions before venting them on your little ones, which can be destructive. When an adult yells or acts out in front of a small child, the child will often shut down out of fear that violence may follow. This is why it's so important for you to find appropriate ways to express your emotions. My booklet, The Anger in All of Us and How to Deal with It, offers suggestions for directing angry feelings in a healthy way. It can be ordered by sending your name and address, plus a check or money order for $8, U.S. funds, to Dear Abby Anger Booklet, P.O. Box 447, Mount Morris, Illinois, 61054-0447. Shipping and handling are included in the price. Sometimes when people are frustrated, they lose their temper with those presently around them. In situations like this, it's important to evaluate the source of what might really be irritating you, rather than misdirect your anger at a blameless target. The ability to control your emotions is crucial so your children won't grow up thinking that exploding is normal. There are healthy ways of dealing with frustration. Among them, leaving the room, going for a walk, or, better yet, a short run, or saying to yourself, "Please, Lord, don't let me lose my temper," before opening your mouth. Dear Abby, my boss has been making passes at me for the last 5 months, even though I have told him it makes me uncomfortable. We went out to dinner once, and he is insisting that we do it again. How do I say no to this married man and still keep my job? Uncomfortable in the South. Dear Uncomfortable, ask your employer if he is satisfied with your job performance. Tell him a social relationship with a married man is not what you signed on for, and if he becomes punitive, document it and point out that what he is doing could be considered sexual harassment. Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars are the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Capricorn and a moon in Capricorn until 11:44 a.m., when the moon enters Aquarius. Happy birthday for Wednesday, January 13, 2021. Goal-oriented, proud, and autonomous, security and standing are important to you. This year, take a chance on a project you have doubts about, as it will be tremendously successful. Remember that money isn't everything. If single, you meet someone this year who hasn't had the advantages you have, and this is the one. If attached, you are with your prince or princess. Virgo is the original princess and the pea. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 5 stars. Today unexpectedly ushers in hours of joy and laughter with different people. Focus on the future. Determine your most important priorities. Affirmations and meditations are especially valuable. Observe and listen. Meet others halfway to resolve tensions. Tonight, it all becomes quite intriguing. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 4 stars. Economics and social conditions can affect your profession. Consider external factors and use them as guidelines. You are not an island. There is a strong awareness of how your destiny interconnects with the world around you. Tonight, capitalize on valuable contacts. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 5 stars. Wanderlust strikes today. A trip overseas or cross-country would be uplifting and fantastic. It's a shame we are in the middle of COVID. Try visiting places of historical and spiritual significance instead. Tonight, record in a journal and interpret them to gain insight of a higher self. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 5 stars. Others make suggestions about money management. You may develop a new job skill or are offered a second job. Act on it quickly. But check with your inner psyche before acting too quickly on unsolicited advice. Tonight, clear your slate. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. You'll seek different partnerships and feel like a relationship has run its course. There'll be new schedules at work and different job skills needed. Your versatility allows you to adapt beautifully. Tonight, others comment they didn't know you as well as they thought. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. There can be a new psychic rapport with pets. There's a more progressive daily routine, and you have good luck if searching for a job or using time with the utmost efficiency. The financial outlook brightens. Tonight, your judgment is good. Make choices and commitments. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 4 stars. You'll feel like a child today. You'll enjoy gambles and intriguing risks. Adventurous leisure activities have appeal. Regarding love, you'll seek a situation that is thrilling rather than safe and secure. Business takes a back seat to social and creative interests. Tonight, relax. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21, 4 stars. You'll be making decisions about family and private life. You'll be evaluating your residence with care and deciding whether to keep it or improve it. You'll learn some interesting facts about family members. Tonight, do not act out any of their characteristics, just your own. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. You'll feel the urge to travel a bit. A new vehicle, perhaps a bicycle or Jeep, could seem to fit your needs. Don't write emails or letters or make phone calls if you're upset. Be patient with a neighbor or sibling. Travel in your mind. Tonight, researching history. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Today emphasizes appreciation of possessions. You can add to a collection or find a treasure in an antique store. Browsing online through shops is an appealing pastime. If you need a new garment or jewelry, you can locate the perfect item now. Tonight, celebrating quietly. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 5 stars. There is considerable excitement today. Don't cling to the past. You're about to be jolted out of a rut. Travel is likely. The gambler and adventurer within you awakens. You're weary of the details of a routine and long for expansion. Tonight, stay cheerful. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 3 stars. Today makes you sympathetic and helpful, but also more emotional than usual. You'll put changes on hold and recognize a need for conformity. Get extra rest and be patient with yourself. You take a little longer than planned for projects. Tonight, old memories are strong. Born today, dancer Gwen Verdon, 1925, writer J. McInerney, 1955, comedian Julia Louise Dreyfus, 1961.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.